Coming to you live from the Cross Country Mortgage Campus in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet. Now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland. Here are your hosts, Bo Bishop and Nathan Zagura.
All right, let's do it live on a first Friday edition of the program. Merely Bo, the great Z. How you living, buddy?
Really well.
Well, I don't want to talk about it.
Potentially. Don't jinx it. But I'm good, man. I'm good. Feeling good. Shout out to my physical therapist, Brent, yesterday. Took very good care of me at the Drzezinski Health Institute.
He really worked you out, huh?
Yeah.
Got you limber.
University Hospital's affiliation with the Browns, the radio network, the whole deal.
Getting you limber, giving you a nice
down. Yeah, like, so I went in there. Apparently, unbeknownst to me, I'm just walking around here with hips all out of whack.
Sure, of
one hip is 2 inches higher than the other hip.
That's about right.
Problem.
Yeah.
And then he does this. Hips back to even. Guess what?
Felt better.
Felt much better. So, yeah, thanks.
And now is this a regular visit to Coach Brent?
I might only have to go, I think, one more time based on how I feel right now. So he gave me a bunch of stretches. I have, like, a routine to do when I wake up.
Okay.
And, yeah, feeling good.
That's very nice.
What is
very,
it? Feeling good, nice. Lewis? Looking good, Billy Ray?
Looking good, Billy Ray. Feeling good, Lewis.
Yeah, feeling good, yeah. Lewis.
That's great.
Yeah.
If that does – that you forget that it does get pretty dark for Lewis.
It does.
And about three quarters of the way through that, it gets there's a dark spot.
But overall, pure joy. Yeah, overall joy.
Have you guys seen Trading Places? Did I do this bit with you? Did I do this observation with you on this program? I can't remember.
Young?
Yeah, I knew. But the idea that certain things that were treasured in our youth are extinct now.
Such as?
Trading Places, apparently.
Is extinct?
Feels like it. So the examples I used at the time were things from, like, my childhood, like Zorro, the Lone Ranger, the Flintstones. All of that is evaporated.
By the way, you'll be pleased. My kids were doing a Google search of me yesterday
for
pictures that come up. And one that came up was me. They're like, what is this? I'm like, that's me as Zorro. What do you mean?
What do you mean? Do they know who Zorro was?
Yeah, no.
Mine did just because of me.
You're an aficionado.
If they didn't, they would.
You're a Zorro enthusiast.
I am. I'm a big fan.
The one thing I would say about the whole movie asking is that Uno doesn't watch movies at all. He has no recollection. He has no idea about anything because he doesn't watch any movies.
What are you doing, Uno? Wedding Crashers. Wedding Crashers is so-so. See, that's 20 years ago, though.
I haven't seen, like, I don't think I've seen it full.
All right, that's your homework assignment tonight.
Hold on. All right,
you have nothing else to do. I don't even want to hear if you're on do you have a flight game tonight?
Tomorrow.
Okay, so you're free and clear. I want you to watch Wedding Crashers. Trading Places, that's early 80s. It's a classic.
Even my wife likes Trading Places.
Do you know Caddyshack, Uno?
Of the humor type that she's like, I don't need to watch this again.
Yeah,
I'm dying laughing for the 50th
time.
Sure.
Do you know Caddyshack?
No.
Oh my God, that's a must.
That's that era though.
But that's an older one. Disgust. All right. Now I'm going to give you three serious movies that you need to win. Two of which won Best Picture. One of which is the greatest film ever made.
That's pretty high praise.
You're not dropping First Blood, are you, on him?
No, I'm going to drop on you three films. Number one, Apocalypse Now.
Oh, no chance.
No.
Do you even know what it's about?
No. I didn't see the apocalypse happening right now. The apocalypse happening right now. I hadn't seen it until college, Apocalypse Now. It wasn't until college that I saw it.
It's incredible.
Heavy.
Incredible.
A little heavy. Little heavy.
I've watched The Redux. I've watched it all.
Give me two.
Gladiator.
I don't think so.
All right.
Good movie, but really long.
Really long.
Really long.
I think that's the picture.
You know what's interesting? My favorite part of Gladiator is the first 15 minutes. Like the battle in Germania.
Yeah.
Love that.
Loose.
Love it.
When they loose the...
on my signal unleash shell. All right.
What about when Joaquin Phoenix is whining? He's like, no, they love Maximus for his mercy. He's so mad. He's great.
He is great. Yeah,
so that's another one. And then the third, which is the greatest film ever made. Beautiful. Moving, important,
Oh my God!
Last of the Mohicans.
They have no chance. I've seen Mohicans.
You've never seen Last of the Mohicans?
There's no chance. I've only seen it once.
It was a Gibbs date movie in college.
What?
Yeah, so hey, one time.
The score is
unbelievable.
The score is in my like songs on Spotify. What did he just say?
You don't want to know.
I do want to know.
I don't think you do. No, So this is my point. I think a lot of this stuff, they're not seeing it. You know why? Because they're flipping on YouTube. You're getting YouTube shorts.
TikTok.
YouTube. No, they're
so
on
they're
TikTok.
Not, whatever. So they're not, they don't, well, my kids are fed YouTube. So they're not seeing all this stuff. They're not. They're missing it. They're watching
shorts.
Well,
the other problem that we're running into is, like, nobody goes to the movie theater anymore.
Yeah, but this isn't that, because all of this would be available.
Because movies aren't the same as they used to. Like, the movie theater in my hometown just closed down.
There is some truth to that. But there's no question. You're in a rut with movie making. And I think that's why, like, Maverick was a big hit as it was, because while it was a sequel, it wasn't a Marvel movie.
Right.
Right? So, and it was something that had been dormant since, what, like, 86, 87?
Yeah. I can't believe you laughed at Mohicans like that.
No, I just knew. I didn't laugh at it. No, I've seen it, but I think I've only seen it start to finish once.
West Studi
as Magua. It was probably
25 Magua,
years ago. Yeah.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
No, I know who's in it. I'm aware. I just watched him in There Will Be Blood. I saw that for about the third time, maybe like a month ago. It was on one of the cables, and I watched that for about an hour and a half. That's a light watch.
You know what else is a light watch that he was in? Gangs of New York. Real light. Gangs of New York.
Now I'm done. That's how it ends?
Yeah. Whew.
Yeah, Gangs of New York. That's a heavy one. That's a light watch. Breezy. That was on last night.
I'll tell you what. And I do love Daniel Day-Lewis, but I hated him when he beat Tom Cruise in the movie about my birthday, Born on the 4th of July, for Best Actor, and Daniel Day-Lewis won for My Left Foot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was not pleased.
Did he win for Lincoln, too?
He should have. He became Lincoln.
Yeah, he became Lincoln.
I think so.
He hasn't done anything in a while.
Have you listened to the rewatchables for Mohicans?
Yeah.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, because I've seen it, and I know I acknowledge its greatness. I'm just
We've
saying,
blocked
like,
the
that,
path.
That, I know you and the lovely Miss K.
Yeah.
I would just say that when you say, have you seen, and you're dropping movies of the last 40 years, Last of the Mohicans probably isn't on a top 20 list of ones that you would say, and probably my examples of this would
to
be
the contrary.
For you, it would be. My reason, I think, like, if you looked at, like, even let's just use the rewatchables, it took them a while to get to that. It wasn't like, oh, we got to do this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, one they had to do was Roadhouse. They finally got to it, but they were holding it out, you know, until
Uno, now. What about Zoolander?
No, no chance.
Derelict.
Griff said, I love Zoolander.
See, there you go. Griff, whatever. Griff. He's seen Wedding Crashers.
Reestablish the arrows and give yourself an extra one up.
Trending up.
Griff's the guy for movies. So
I think
here,
Griff's,
not me.
Griff's five up.
Yeah.
Uno's three up and Gibbe. Although we see
Okay. All right.
Gibbe Slate's been wiped clean.
I still don't know what exactly happened.
It doesn't,
back
doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
We have
don't
new
worry
information.
About it.
New,
don't worry about it. It's
new
all fine.
Stuff has come to light.
Has Griff seen Wedding Crashers?
Yes. Of he course. Looked at me like I had three heads when
okay.
I just,
all right, very good.
When you just asked.
Who's seen The Big Lebowski?
Griff's seen it.
Griff. It, bowling.
Griff.
Yeah, that's his sweet spot.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. I think there's a little Walter Sobchak in him.
Oh, man.
Yeah. He gets you a toe by 3 o'clock.
Yeah. There are rules, dude.
There are.
This is not
very
nom.
Much are. I've seen that one a lot. Boy, I'll tell you what. The two movies that are in my
piece on the
he's reciting lines in here. You're reciting lines over there.
I tell you what I just realized. No question, two movies I've seen the most of like the 10 movies I've seen the most in my life. Two of them have Ben Gazzara.
Really? Because
he's in Lebowski. Jackie Treehorn.
Jackie Treehorn, sure.
And he's my guy in Roadhouse.
Yeah,
he's in both.
Interesting. So the movie's
he's Brad Wesley and Jackie Treehorn. In fact, I do wonder if the folks at if the Coen brothers at Lebowski just said, can you just do Brad Wesley, except he's in the adult film industry in L.A.?
Yeah.
That's because it's the same guy.
Same guy.
Same guy. Yeah.
So the movies that I've watched for sure the most in my entire life would be the original Star Wars, because I had it on VHS. This one, you didn't have a lot of stuff that you could watch.
Yeah, you just throw it in. What am I doing? Let's throw it in. Let's run through it.
Top Gun.
Mm-hmm.
Caddyshack. Old School. Zoolander.
Old School more than Wedding Crashers, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
Zoolander. Big Lebowski. And probably Last of the Mohicans.
Yeah. The two that would be atypical that you would never guess that I've seen the most, but they were on one VHS tape back
together.
To back, was Silverado.
Uh-huh.
In fact, my oldest son is named after the hero in that. And then Young Guns.
Young Guns.
So those
great
two
movie.
I watched, and I've seen them both 1,000 times. Both
have
of those.
Griff, have you seen Cliffhanger?
Great movie. No,
Cliffhanger's a
not.
Great movie.
Lithgow
showing up is so formidable.
How about the fact that the start of that the guy's upset that somehow it's Stallone's fault? You got but her out wife- there. She's a newbie climber. You got her out there on a rope, and you send Stallone out there
on one of the biggest mountain.
Like, what are you doing
in the
dude?
World?
That's on you, Coach.
That's on you.
I'm out there trying to. The glove slips, and you're gonna hold it against me.
What's
forever?
That guy's name? He was in Days of Thunder too. That guy.
I don't know. Rowdy Brown.
No, he wasn't.
Rowdy Barnes. He was Rowdy yeah. Barnes. Cole yeah. Trickle was.
It was Cruise.
Cruise. Cruise. Yeah. Yeah.
Cliffhanger is a fine film.
Yeah, it is.
That's a good little action.
I'll give you another one. The Running Man.
Oh,
anyone?
I haven't seen that either.
You ever seen The Running Man?
Remember before I started doing this show, I'd only seen The Running Man like in parts, and then I watched it.
I think I made you. I said,
it's time to run.
It's great. It's great. They greenlit a lot of stuff.
What an ensemble.
I think all that stuff now ends up on Prestige TV. They all end up being like limited series. Like
Running Man
would
have been a great series.
Yeah, like that would now, that would just be on Netflix or something as a series.
That'd be a great series.
Yeah.
I'd like somebody to make that as a series, in fact.
They're out of ideas. We said this yesterday. We're not going to Brazil. The Packers are. It's official now.
Maybe we did have some scores.
Maybe
to say.
A couple of scores
who's
out there
say?
On that.
Not me.
So that's out. Oh, I know what I want to tell you guys. So we talked about Sunday Red yesterday, right?
Sunday Red.
So we said, love the logo.
Love it.
Be great if this stuff was available.
Guess what?
Ahead of the Masters.
It is now available.
It's not.
Oh. I thought that was the big news.
Oh, no. So this morning I was like, all right, I'm just going to. So you go on that. You go on the site. They have one collection drop. You can't even really see it. You just see it. It's called the Pine Collection. And I said, well, surely. All right. They just want my email. Fine. I'll give them my email. Then once I do that, maybe I can have access to it or there will be a lottery and I can get this stuff relatively quickly. So I click on it. Would you like access to this? Yep, sure. Another email. Fine. So I put in my email. So I went through the whole process. So you put in the email. Once you select your region, the country you're from, then you put in the email. You hit go. After that, it wants your height, weight, and age.
Feels a little personal.
I would say. They want height, weight, and age. And there was one other question. Was it, are you an avid golf? Something like that. But I remember height, weight, age. Click through. Then you get to a page where it says, thank you, you're now entered into an opportunity to purchase the clothing. I don't know if I can be like, do I have to purchase all of it? Is it a huge bundle that I have to buy all of it? I have no idea what the prices are. I got no information, none. So I get all the way through. They said, you find out you will. So then you get an email. So the email came through and it says your entry has been received. Thank you for your interest in Sunday Red Selects Pine Collection. So it doesn't give me access to anything other than this Pines Collection, which, of course, they're doing because of the Masters. You will be notified the week of April 15th. So it's next week if you've been selected for access. Those selected. Now, listen to this. Those selected may access the collection through their account settings on May 1st. Now,
like the draft is over at that point. Like,
what are we doing?
We are moving way past.
Eldrick Woods last year had to withdraw in the cold rain because he couldn't walk. Like, whatever momentum, and he's got a lot always leading into Augusta, but it's gone then. Now's the time to act. How can I not purchase a Masters collection, which is what this is? They go to great lengths to make sure you don't have Masters. And it's like the most important spring major or whatever, or spring golf tournament. How can I not purchase it now? Why would you not have this ready to print and purchase now?
I don't get it.
I don't
I'm
either.
You and I,
he's
if they
Tiger
gave us that logo,
Woods.
We could do it.
What took so long?
I'd have it. Listen, you'd have canvases you could buy. I'd have hats. I'd have shirts.
You'd be slinging
I'd have
them.
A quarter zip.
You would have dropped it on Sunday at midnight or whatever.
By the way, why not on this?
Put it on one of those. With
instead
the leaping tiger.
It's this, yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
Isn't that something? Doesn't it feel like a fail?
Yes. It feels like it's like coming soon in perpetuity.
Who would ever do such a thing?
I don't know. I haven't heard of it.
Almost for 2 years. Maybe like in 2027.
Now live.
I get the email next week.
Sunday Red.
You can
now
purchase
live.
Sunday Red in 2027.
Yeah.
Ah, that's what it'll be. Great. I'm sure I'll still need a golf hoodie at that time. The Beast is officially out.
Oh, baby.
Dane, he did it. He's going to join us Friday on the show.
Let me just say, this is the draft Bible. Oh, that coach of Cleveland Browns. How about it? Walking around, two-time coach of the year.
Yep. That's his new go-to hat. I've noticed that. He's sporting that one a lot.
Yeah, he likes that one.
He's run that a lot.
That's the, like, black brim brown.
Do you think there is any part of – he would never answer honestly, although maybe next time we have him I'll ask him. Do you think there's any part of him that laments how popular those hoodies got to the point where he can't wear them anymore? Like truth serum.
Maybe.
I think so.
Kovach is wearing the original quarter zip.
Oh, is he?
Bubba Ventrone.
Oh, he's in the Hirachis.
Bubba Ventrone
in
the Hirachis.
Big Hirachi guy.
Looking good.
Hirachis. Love them.
Oh, man.
Oh, you can do anything in a Hirachi.
You can, except win an NCAA championship.
No, sad.
You can call a timeout whenever you want. Mm. Don't even need one.
Did they wear them in that one, or did they wear those in the Duke game?
I don't remember.
Did the Fab Five have the Hirachis in the Duke game when they got boat raced?
In my mind,
or was it the Carolina game?
I think of the Fab Five.
Yeah, because they wore the ones that were the purple and the bright blue and the white, and then they had the black ones with the light.
I had those.
I had the other ones. Let me see.
We're so symbiotic.
We are. I think the year after they wore the Charles Barkley's, I think they were Air Force. Let me see. Let me pull it up.
Oh, my Nana corrected. I left off a movie off of my most
watched
movies.
Yeah, they were the next. It's against Duke when they wore the Hirachis as freshmen.
Right. Well, then fine.
As sophomores, they were in the they wore the all black. Like I think they were Air Force Max or something. It was a Barkley shoe. Go ahead.
Nana's absolutely right. What About Bob is for sure on my top 10 most watched movies of all time, without question. Anyone back there?
Is that safe for the kids, like my kids?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen that in probably 20 years either.
Sigmund's in it. Siggy.
Yeah.
That's the Hoff's wife, Annie. That's her family's favorite movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I remember it to be great.
Have you guys ever seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
I have.
There you
go. All
right.
So that held
up.
That holds up. I had NBC watch that maybe like a year and a half ago, and he's always skeptical of everything I say, and we ran that back, and he was like, yeah, that's great. I'm like, that's
I'm sure. Listen, when you show that to Bootsy, Bootsy's going to have
He's
going to have a dummy hooked up to
There's
a...
There's no doubt.
to a keyboard making sounds?
There's no doubt.
Blah, 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 blah.
Did I tell you guys, I watched the pilot of Friday Night Lights with NBC last week. Did I tell you guys that?
Of the TV show?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't tell you.
Buddy Garrity is about he's going
right.
to he's going to know Buddy
All
Garrity.
Of it. Yeah. So he's, you know, he's 12. So I don't know anything. Everything I think I like sucks, blah, you know, that's where he's at. He's relatively polite about it, but that's kind of
By the way.
At. So I we're
couldn't
sitting
be more wrong.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. You know, when you go home today, hit him with a "What's up, brother?" with your finger like this. "What's up, brother?"
Like this?
Yeah. And then when he, if he doesn't
Does he know what that
back,
is?
He should. If he doesn't.
I don't know if you want Tuesday. Him to know.
Tuesday.
Okay. All right. You're going to have to have. You're
what's
have
up,
to
brother?
What's up, brother? Like
yeah.
that?
Yeah. What's up, brother?
Okay. All right. I'll try that.
And then a double fist Tuesday.
Tuesday. Tuesday, like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll see what he does. So we watch. I
Look
go.
At Uno's so excited.
He's so excited.
Look at
all right.
the joy in his face.
So he goes.
He's kind of red, though.
He watches all this YouTube nonsense. I'm like, dude, put that away. Like, let's watch. You're going to like this. He goes, I do not want to see the pilot of Friday Night Lights or anything else you're watching, Dad. And I'm like, it's going to suck. And I'm like, dude, you watch Jesse. All right? Like, trust me.
That's a phenomenal television program on Disney Channel.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Like, chill out.
Hold on.
Fantastic television program.
Jesse is a good
Debbie
show.
Ryan.
It's fine.
Come on.
My
fine.
Kids were of the age where
yeah.
they were.
No, they're
in Jesse. I would.
Yeah.
I
so I'm like, listen,
that.
You watch Jesse.
Don't call
Trust
that.
Me.
Give me another program. No shots at Jesse.
This, you would agree, is an upgrade from Jesse, though. Friday Night Lights.
Yes.
So
especially due to, what was her name, Lila? Ms. Garrity.
So we're watching, right? So remember, in the in the
trailer, the pilot is
in the pilot. Well, Streets, the 5-star quarterback, is going to Notre Dame, best player in the history of the country, and he's the quarterback. He's the perfect kid. It's Chandler's the head coach. It's his first year, and he's there because he's basically been the personal quarterback coach of him since he was a little kid. He was the offensive coordinator. He's elevated to head coach. They're the number one team in Texas. Smash Williams, Tim Riggins, blah, blah, all that stuff, right?
Tim Riggins.
Fantastic. So what you don't realize, what I had forgotten because I hadn't seen it in a long time, is that not only is Lila Garrity throwing 190, painting the black, there's Tyra is too.
2 million.
Tyra is too.
Is that the mom?
No. That's the Tim Riggins girlfriend. Okay. In the pilot, she's throwing 1 billion. I believe she's from Toledo.
Okay.
I think she's an Ohio girl.
I thought the matriarch was.
Yeah, there's a lot of wins.
A delight.
So we're watching, and his eyes are locked in like right away.
Of course he is.
He was dismissive off the beginning, and then he was locked in.
Yeah.
And so first time we see, there's a girl in his class, and I always call her Lila Garrity. So the first time that he says, that Street says, "I love you, Lila Garrity," he's like, "That's where you got that from?" And then he found out Buddy Garrity. That's why Buddy's named Buddy Garrity, the dog, or dog. And that's why.
Just wait till you see how great Buddy Garrity is.
You're kind of see a lot more greatness out of him.
Yeah.
And so we're progressing. And so I go, "Well, what do you think of Lila Garrity? That you'd like, what do you think about that situation there? She's mid for a 90s girl." I go, dude, come on.
Slow your roll, brother.
You got to chill.
Pump the brakes.
These guys want to hang out with your oldest. Z wants to hang out with Bootsy.
It's like.
They're all like, yeah, we totally agree with him.
What are you talking?
What?
She's mid? First of all, the show wasn't in the 90s.
Adrian Palicki?
Yeah, that's it.
Toledo, Ohio.
Yeah, there you go.
40 years Ohio old. Girl.
That's not Lila Garrity.
Right? No, that's Tyra.
Lila Garrity dated like Jeter.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, when he had like 3,000 hits.
Yeah,
she had it at that time. Anyway, so like he gets back to the end, and then the tragedy happens at the end. I mean, it ends on a straight. It's unbelievable. The last 30 minutes is like almost like an opera, the way it's edited together between what happens in the football game and like him going into the hospital and is he paralyzed, all that stuff. And so it fades to black. It's done, fades to black. And he goes, well, what happened? It was just panic. And I'm like, now you see.
Now you're in.
Now you see.
So now you guys are watching it?
We have not watched it. We've had too much sports. So I don't have a chance to watch episode 2 yet. But we have episode 1's in the books.
And so then Sarazen takes over in episode 2?
He takes over at the end of episode 1.
Man.
Yeah.
He was not well cast.
I think a very fine actor, but not believable as someone who would be a backup quarterback. But
not at a team of that.
Not at a 5-star 5A Texas powerhouse.
Right.
No. The backup quarterback. And so what's crazy is it ends with Vince Howard is the quarterback in the end of it, as if we go to East Dillon and all of that.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, like.
And that's Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah. And he can play. Like, he can sling it. Like, and the kid playing Tim Riggins looks like he could be a football player. The kid playing Smash looks like a football player. Like, all those guys look like they can do it. They brought in there's a villain who comes in at one point who can clearly sling it. But I think they were just. They're clearly more looking for a look rather than the football part of it. But, like, he just can't throw football.
Is that, like, Plemons' debut?
It's crazy. He ends up being the biggest star out of it.
For sure.
Yeah.
Like, not even close.
They tried to launch Riggins a lot. It never took.
He tried. But he got to eat. Listen.
He's had a nice career, but they wanted him to be, like, a superstar.
No, they thought he was going to be a megastar. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speaking of megastars, Caitlin Clark is 18.9 million viewers for the national championship game between Iowa and South Carolina. 90% increase compared to last year, 285% increase.
Beat Purdue and UConn, which are two number one seeds.
They are. I think it's 90% Caitlin Clark.
Yes.
Is the reason for that. The big thing with on the men's side of things is despite Connecticut being a now blue blood basketball program, there is not a great deal of interest in Connecticut basketball outside of people from Connecticut. And the same is true of Purdue. So, for example, if Duke were in the game, if Carolina were in the game, if Kentucky were in the game, if Kansas were in the game, UCLA, Indiana, Ohio State, Michigan, something like that. Hell, even Alabama, the Alabama-UConn Final Four game was like 14.6 million. The semifinal game on Saturday night did 14.6. So it's just – the combination of Purdue and UConn, even though they're both ones and have been the best, they're not They don't drive
not
you to
TV
the TV.
Friendly.
They're not. No, it's not.
Lainey had The Rock, commercial free.
Yeah, but she did.
They did 3 mil for Raw, which is a good number. I mean, back in the heyday, we were doing like 7, 8.
Yeah,
but
they had 3 for Raw.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I mean, but here's the moral of the story. Quite honestly, the men will take 15 million for the championship game forever. That beats everything other than the NFL, select college football playoff. I think Ohio State, Michigan was the only one over 15 this year
yep.
in college football. It annihilates NBA, NHL,
that was the
MLB.
Only one that beat the women when they drew 12.
Right, right, right.
Was Ohio State, Michigan.
That's it. So there's no other professional sport in this country. There are championships, anything that are close to 15. So the idea that a sport we only care about for the month of March getting 15 is they take it, and yep. the women will take 10 in their sleep, which is what it'll be next year, and that's awesome. That is awesome. You're not doing 19 again. You're not doing a peak of 24. That was a one-off. But they'll do nice numbers, and these two sports are on the ascent, men's basketball, men's and women's college basketball, and then to a lesser extent, the other college sports, the baseball, the softball, they are ascending.
You know, it would be an interesting thing to do.
What's that?
In the off season, and I was just thinking
we're in it,
and I could
we're
be,
in it, brother.
I could be completely wrong about this.
All right,
but if we were to make a 64 team bracket
mm-hmm.
of the greatest college basketball teams ever. It feels to me like the vast majority, and this is going to be because of what I watch, but it feels yeah. to me like the vast majority are going to be coming from the, like, prior to 2010.
It's going to be prior to Kevin Garnett. So Kevin Garnett is 94 or 5.
But you still had some really good teams in the late 90s.
You did. But prior to that, everybody stayed. Garnett went first, then Kobe, then McGrady.
Jermaine O'Neal.
And then there was a laundry list. That one draft that had Tyson Chandler and Eddie Curry. And
yeah.
There's another – I can't remember the other one who was in that. Oh, Kwame Brown. Those guys went 1, 2, 3. Like, that's early 2000, late 90s, early 2000s. So at that point, men's college basketball was never the same.
Yeah.
Now, there's the Kentucky team that went undefeated that Devin Booker came off the bench. The Anthony Davis Kentucky team in 2012 was otherworldly.
They were here.
There will be, I'm saying there will be some of the modern era, but I think the majority, especially if we were
sure.
to seed it out in our.
But what I was going to say on the examples I even just gave you, you got Anthony Davis as a freshman.
Right.
You did not get Anthony Davis as a junior. If Anthony Davis as a freshman won the National Player of the Year in the National Championship at Kentucky, if he had played 3 years like Shaq played at LSU, we might talk about him like he were Alcindor or Walton.
Yeah.
If he played 3 years. You know? I mean, think what the star he would have been. He is anyway, but like what he with that, yeah. if he played 3 years at Kentucky?
I do think that would be a fun thing to do because I'd be so curious who we would like fight for our number one seeds to be.
Well, it would be how would you ever put how could you put perspective on like the Alcindor Bruins, or
they have to be
for sure. They didn't lose in 3 years, and Walton's Bruins only lost once. They lost to Notre Dame. That's it, right? Like there's an Indiana team that went undefeated. The Carolina team had Sam Perkins, James Worthy, and Jordan. So like,
yeah.
how do you put that into perspective? Like how you know those teams? I mean,
UNLV,
the Akeem team in Houston, which did not win it, had Akeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler.
Yeah.
So
Phi Slamma Jamma.
Yeah, it's really tough to put that in.
I just think like you could if you placed one of the teams that we're talking about or one of those good teams from that 80s to mid 90s,
mm-hmm.
like they would be so much better than any team in the tournament right now, it wouldn't be close.
Well, you already have the proof of that because 22 and 23 year olds who do not have that talent are beating teams like Calipari's Kentucky team who had all the talent but are freshmen.
Yeah.
22 year olds beat 18 year olds 9 times out of 10. Even if the 19-year-olds have more talent. That's just what's happened. So, yeah, no, it absolutely would. The one that felt, and I don't know if it was just in my mind's eye, but the one to me that felt like the most for sure they're going to go win a national title that comes to mind is Leitner's senior year at Duke. They had beaten UNLV the year before. They had vanquished them in the Final Four. And then they had a Grant Hill.
Like, added Grant Hill.
They had Leitner, Hurley, and Hill.
And then they have Davis. Like
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so, like, the idea – like, they took that shot from Leitner to beat Kentucky that year, but, like, That team to me was like the most, well, yeah, they're going to go win it again. Who's getting in their way?
Stopping them?
Nobody. Yeah. Kentucky almost did, but not quite. Yeah, that'd be fun.
It would be. All right. I mean, those, I just think that you got three like first-round picks on teams that have played together for multiple years on some of these teams.
But are you going off of what they did in college?
You have
or
to do the college
pros?
Thing because
yeah,
if
college.
You project into pros, it doesn't work. Yeah.
No, it's what they were as college teams.
The two most overwhelming teams that from my lifetime was UNLV,
yep.
The one that actually lost to Duke.
Yeah.
Because nobody was close to them all year until they lost to Duke. They were undefeated. And the Kentucky team in 96, Tony Delk, Ron Mercer, Antoine Walker, they smoked people. That was beatdown city, man. Absolute beatdown city. Those were crazy.
Like this teams. Year's Connecticut team, which was a very good team, and they
was
beat
Tubby
most
Smith
people.
Coach there?
He was.
Okay.
No. Patino on that team.
Okay.
Patino on that team. Tubby was 98.
So, gotcha.
Yeah. That's they wore the denim.
Yeah.
They wore the Converse denim uniforms. Yeah, look it up. They did. Uno. Denim. Kentucky denim uniforms. 96.
Oof.
Crazy.
Like this year's Connecticut team would be in the field.
Yeah.
But they'd probably be like a 13.
Yeah, right. The hard thing to do would be like all the Kentucky teams under Cal. How do you put them into perspective? Because they're all freshmen. And so you'd be so hard to skew the fact like Jamal Murray didn't start sometimes or like Shea Gilgeous-Alexander came off the bench and it's like, might be five best players in the league in the NBA, you know?
Yeah.
Like Devin Booker was the sixth man on the team that was 40-0 when they lost to Wisconsin. He didn't start. It was
they
the two
lost
Harrisons.
Lost to what, Kaminsky?
Lost to Frank Kaminsky, yeah.
Jeez.
Carl Anthony Towns, Harrison Twins, Booker off the bench. And they lost to Kaminsky in the
Harrison
final
Twins were so lauded coming out, and then did either one of them have even a
no, they
reasonable
were just,
pro career?
I don't think so. They were just really good basketball players, but they didn't have elite traits.
Yeah.
The one hit a game-winning shot against Louisville the previous year, I want to say in the Elite Eight, to get them to the final. They played for the national championship.
Yeah.
They beat Wisconsin the year before in the Final Four and then lost in the national championship game, I believe, to UConn.
Yeah.
So
he's a regular on Joe Thomas and Andy Thomas's podcast.
Kaminsky?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. He was Jordan's first-round pick of the Hornets.
Yeah.
Jordan loved college big guys. Loved them.
Yeah, but that
P.J. Washington, like he took so many of those guys when he was running the Hornets. College big guys. Give me some college big guys.
Did he take Kwame Brown?
He took Tim in Washington, yeah.
Yeah.
To be fair, that was a garbage draft. Like the other choices that went high were Tyson Chandler and Eddie Curry.
But Chandler at least had a very reasonable career.
Yeah, but like none of those guys.
They didn't change your franchise, but Chandler could be.
And Curry was actually a decent player after he was drafted. He ended up with the Knicks, I think, because the Bulls picked both Chandler and Curry back-to-back. And they ended up at the Knicks, and he was kind of okay for a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. The Whip is coming up next. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Hey, Bo here for my team at Renew Home Exteriors. Get a new roof and gutter package designed to protect your home for years to come with Renew Home Exteriors. As low as $99 a month, you have peace of mind knowing your home is covered. Plus, with Renew Home Exteriors lifetime warranty, you don't have to worry about costly repairs again. You don't have to wait until the next storm. Do not do that. Schedule a free consultation. Discover how to upgrade your roof with affordable financing options. 330-522-1974. Visit renewestimate.com for more. They are the best. In the business, time for the whip.
Time to whip. The CBD whip.
Let's go.
Question Number one on this first Friday, which is more impressive, UConn going back-to-back or South Carolina women going 38-0?
UConn going back-to-back. The women, now I understand that they had a bunch of turnover at South Carolina from year to year. I think what's really impressive is South Carolina won it, lost one game, and then went undefeated and won it again. So they've won two out of three, and they've only lost once during
in
that
between.
Time. So that's really impressive. But they can have roster retention because WNBA does not have – you're not eligible
22.
Until you're 22. So you can keep a hold of a roster and build a roster going forward. Now, Dawn Staley, she had some moving parts. I mean, I think had three or four go to the WNBA. But at UConn, it's a year-to-year process. So in that era, to be able to stack two teams back-to-back to win national titles, one is a four, one is a one, average margin of victory in the two championship races, a mid-20s, 23 a game. If you put them both together, it's the UConn men.
Zagora.
I just think going 38-0, coming out of the SEC.
It's tough.
You've got – they beat Caitlin Clark. You've got the LSU team. There's just – the UConn team, there's so many good women's teams. To go undefeated is, I think, very impressive. Not have, like, one off night. They relied on a few freshmen. I think that's very impressive.
All right, here is the
what's crazy to
sense,
me.
Okay, go ahead.
But UConn, so they've gone back-to-back.
Yep.
Who's the best player on either of those two teams? Is there anybody that's going to be – a perennial
NBA All-Star. Clayton's probably he's probably the one with the most pro upside, isn't he? Castle's pretty damn good.
Castle and Clayton are going to be the two guys that are going to be lottery picks for sure. Like Castle more, but I think both are strong.
All right. So this buttresses my point. All right. So in lifetime, there have been three men's teams that have won back-to-back national champions. Duke, Leitner, Hurley, and then Hill. Florida, Noah, Yoke. Brewer, those guys, and Horford, and then this Connecticut team. In our lifetime, this is the list of women's teams who have gone undefeated. Texas, 85-86, UConn, 94-95, Tennessee, 97-98, UConn, 01-02, UConn, 2008-2009, UConn, 2009-2010. So UConn didn't lose in 2 years. Baylor, 11-12, UConn, 13-14, UConn, 15-16, and South Carolina, 23-24. So 10 times in our lifetime, a women's has gone undefeated.
This was the first one since
UConn in 16. So UConn did it back-to-back, 13-14, 15-16, and then South Carolina. If Caitlin Clark doesn't beat them, they would have done it back-to-back, back-to-back.
Well, when we were talking about Tarazi and all them and all the grief they were giving, we were saying those were basically one team.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was one
especially
team
at
women's
that
basketball.
Especially from 98, like 98 Tennessee to, yeah, it was Tennessee or UConn almost every year.
So
the 13-14 UConn and 15-16 UConn, that's a little different. I think it's Brianna Stewart. But, yeah.
So, to me, throw that out. So, I feel like there's three on record that are the same. So, both very impressive. How about that?
Yes. I know.
Fair enough. Speaking of college hoops, would you prefer four 10-minute quarters like the women have or keep the current format of two 20-minute halves?
I don't like the 20-minute halves. I think quarters are great. But I would also say that college basketball is such a game of momentum, and the quarter ends are so long that it's kind of a momentum killer. But I do think quarters make more sense. 20 minutes. A 20-minute half is a 20-minute half is.
What hurt more, that or you're poking a hole in the ceiling?
Punching the ceiling in the radio booth hurt a heck of a lot, and I made zero sound.
The four quarters is a no-brainer. I don't understand it. Men's college basketball is the only form of basketball that is played that way.
Why?
Yeah.
Nobody knows why. I asked Mike DeCourcy, who I had on last week. He's covered like 36 Final Fours. I'm like, what is the point of this? He's like, I don't know. The only thing I can think of is like there are people that run it that just don't want to change anything, and so they haven't.
That's just how they do it.
But it's just stupid. Yeah. Like the women have been in four quarters for a while now. It's better.
Yes.
It's just better. Do four tens better.
Four tens, great.
It's a better.
I agree. Moving on to golf. The par three challenge today. The Masters kicks off tomorrow.
The Masters, ladies and gentlemen. The Masters.
Favorite Masters moment. Why do y'all look at me?
It's very easy for me.
I think Tiger's recent win was probably my favorite.
That's it. Griff. It's Tiger in 19 because I get to share it with the boys. Like, they've been hearing me talk about Tiger Woods their whole lives. They had no point of reference on him other than YouTube. So, like, in 19, we watched Tiger Woods win the Masters after where you thought there was no chance that he would ever do it again.
Yeah.
And as soon as it was over, they were outside with the mat pounding balls into the net. Like, yeah. That's it. That's the one. It's him.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Now, his first one was pretty damn cool, too, because he lapped the field.
Yeah, but this one.
He's provided them, though. I mean, it's.
We had this conversation as we were getting ready for the show today, and Griff's like, everybody's going to answer the same thing, Tiger in 19. I said, all right, I'll give you a second one. For me, when Phil won his first one, given everything that had gone on and the drama down the stretch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's his logo, isn't it?
It's a pretty awesome moment.
Is that moment not revered as much, take the Tiger Phil stuff out of it, because of what became of Phil?
Absolutely.
Because you don't hear people talk about it. You see the Masters picture for the Masters dinner? Like, he's in the corner, hiding in a corner.
Because
like,
of
he
Liv.
Used to be front and center. Well, because of Liv, because of what he said on the record and then went against it.
Yeah.
Everything he did to undermine the tour, all that stuff.
Yeah.
All that stuff's public now. And by the way, like, when you covered the PGA Tour, and I did it at Bay Hill, I did it at TPC, and then a lot at Mirfield. Like, guys on tour weren't crazy about him.
No.
Correct.
Like, he had the biggest – him and Bubba Watson had a lot in common. Their public perception versus how they were felt – how, like, players felt about them, wildly different. Both of them had that. I love the damn
yes.
– I mean, I love the Masters. It's spectacular.
Yes.
It's absolutely spectacular.
I'm currently navigating. The wife's like, hey, I might have a hair appointment Saturday. I go, great.
You know,
5-hour hair appointment? Perfect.
Yeah, it's
I
awesome.
Think Mickelson's Masters should be remembered more, and I know that what I'm about to say now isn't a Masters one, but I feel like him winning the 2021 PGA at Kiowa over that field at 50 was kind of as impressive as Tiger coming back and winning the Masters at 19.
I'm going to say no just because of all the physical stuff Tiger had gone through.
Fair.
And Phil didn't have the physical stuff. The other thing, so somebody asked me, like, will Tiger ever win another major? If he wins, it'll be the Masters. And I think even you'd agree with that, right? Like, if he wins again, it would be at Augusta.
Yep.
He has the course intellect and all of that. I do think because of where we are with equipment, it's probably easier now, older. I mean, we had Couples was a leader going into the final day of the Masters in the last five or six years.
He's done in the last couple of years.
He's in the mix. Like, can you string four together? Not probably, but because of how far we've come in equipment, you're not lapping the field anymore.
No.
So.
Phil, though, when he won, so Phil was the oldest. That's the oldest person to ever win a major. He did it on the longest course setup ever, 7,876 yards. Jim Nance's final call was Phil defeats Father Time.
Yeah.
He beat Koepka and Louis Oosthuizen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was playing with Koepka, wasn't he?
And Oosthuizen.
They were all three.
Day.
Were.
Yeah.
Remember how close Tom Watson was at the Open?
So
he's on the 18th tee with a two-shot lead or a one-shot lead?
A one-shot lead on Turnberry. And
on 18.
And he hit a perfect iron, but he was so juiced.
Yeah,
flew it, and then he didn't fail to get up and down.
Failed to get up and down, and then sink.
Forced
the playoff.
Yep.
Yeah. So you get like
Tom Watson. That would have been incredible.
That would have been crazy because he was approaching. He had to be 60 or approaching.
I played there. That is a tough course.
Yeah. He just was too juiced, and
he hit it too good.
But that would have been crazy.
Yeah.
But he's standing on the tee on 18.
Yeah.
You gotta see how old he
was. He had to be 60. Late 50s, early 60s. So Tiger can for sure do it. It can be done.
All right, we're going to jump ahead here just in the sake of time. We did AFC last week. Let's do NFC this week. Fact or fiction, there will be two or more new division champs in the NFC. Your winners from last season, the Lions, the Cowboys, the Bucks, and the Niners.
Oh, they're fact. There'll be two or more. I don't think the Cowboys are doing it. I don't think the Bucks are doing it.
The Bucks are not.
I would not be shocked if the Packers got the Lions. Although I like the Lions a lot. I think they're both playoff teams.
I think the Niners win their division again. Yeah, I think all the others are open. I like the Lions a lot, too.
I think the Falcons Niners are a certainty, but everybody else is.
Falcons, Lions, Niners, Eagles.
Yeah.
Final one here, way, and maybe 59. This is a subject for another day.
59.
But CBSSports.com had a fantastic little article today. And at the end, the basic gist of it was, does LSU or Ohio State stand out as the better college pipeline for wide receivers?
The two best in the league today are both LSU, so that would Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson.
So their high end, I think, is better right now. And I say right now because Marvin Harrison's not in the league yet.
That's what we'll see. Yeah.
So we'll see. Although there's the neighbor's kid is really good at LSU.
And in Jigba, you need to see more of.
Yeah, you got to got to see more of him. But, like, Ohio State's room right now is a lot better than LSU's room. Like, this Jeremiah Smith kid, who's a freshman, is nuts. Nuts. Like, he's running ones right now. He should be at prom, and he's running with the ones. On a room that has Emeka Buka and Brandon Ennis and all these dudes, and he's running ones. So their room is pretty good. The other thing is with for Ohio State, like, you're going back to, and I don't know what LSU would counter with, but like, you got Chris Carter, you got Joey Galloway, you got Terry Glenn, you got David Boston, you got Santonio Holmes, you got, I mean, they've got a ton.
You have Odell, you have Landry.
Yeah. The LSU's doesn't go back as far, though. Like, they go Landry, Odell, this group, Chase, Jefferson, but they don't go back to Chris Carter. They don't have Joey Galloway and the rest of those guys. They don't have that.
Is Chris Carter the only Hall of Fame receiver? It was a Buckeye. A lot of those guys were like Santonio Holmes had a nice career.
All of those
Terry
guys
had a nice career.
Yeah, Joey Galloway had a nice career,
but they weren't like
David Boston had a nice career. Woo!
Well, until you
until not
until he got juiced,
got too big. Yeah, no, I don't think there is. That's that right there though. That's like a conversation like that I have with my children all the time. Like, and I say like how great somebody was. Like, we were having this conversation about. I was talking about some of my most fun basketball players to watch. I'm like, dude, I loved watching Rex Chapman when he was in Kentucky. Yeah. I loved Nick Van Exel at Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Love Nick the Quick.
Nick the Quick.
And they're like, well, were they Hall of Famers? I'm like, no, but they were great. And they were like, well, they weren't that great.
Just
go to your room.
You're also talking about them as college players.
But they were the same in the NBA.
Of course. Yeah.
Nick Van Exel was an all-star. I don't know if Rex was ever an all-star, but they were really good players.
Rex was like 16 a game.
Yeah. For his career. They were really good players.
Luminaries.
That's the CBD whip for today, kids.
All right, second hour coming up next. Cleveland Browns Daily. No. Sorry,
we got to.
We'll do a little golf. A little golf. Oh my gosh, this is so fun.
We got to.
I'm missing a page of
here.
Rundown.
And the general comes up at 2:30. John McClain will join.
Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Ever thought about hitting golf balls inside Cleveland Browns Stadium? Now's your chance. Thanks to Upper Deck Golf. It's June 21st, Saturday the 22nd. VIP golfing experience while hitting tee shots from the upper deck down to custom greens on the Browns Stadium field below. For more information, go to upperdeckgolfing.com. Reserve your tee time today. That's upperdeckgolfing.com. John Rahm's dinner menu was out. He said that he almost blacked out. He was so nervous. Giving his speech, his champion speech.
Really?
Yeah. He used he leaned heavily on Jose Andres.
I bet it sounds like it.
So apparently he helped him create this menu. All right. Let's go through this.
Iberian ham, I'm all about. Acorn fed.
Yep, Iberian ham. That's the one that comes, you get like the whole leg and then they carve off the pieces. Like it's like placed in a vise and then you carve off the
pieces. It's like a prosciutto.
That's exactly right. All right, so there you go. That feels like a win for me. A Isabel cheese, black truffle.
Truffle, sure.
I don't like truffle.
I do like truffle.
Yeah, I know.
That's all right.
Yeah,
more for me.
Spanish omelets, onions with confit potatoes.
Not having any of that.
I would. That doesn't feel like a fit for dinner, but I would. I think for breakfast, I'm in.
I'm out on eggs.
I don't like eggs.
This one, I'm all in.
spicy Basque chorizo and potato.
Yes. Chorizo, I love that. Big chorizo guy.
Feels like a big win.
Yeah.
Mama Rahm's classic lentil stew.
Gotta try it. It's Mama Rahm's.
Feels like it's going to be good. Creamy chicken fritters with confit potato salad. Chicken fritters. What is a chicken fritter?
Would be a fried ball, right? With chicken in it and potatoes.
Okay. And it's a potato salad, so that is that where is would
it?
Lead me
I don't
to
think it is
that,
a potato salad.
Oh, it's not. Oh, it's not. It's potatoes. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Some
okay.
confit potatoes.
Then it comes salad. So those are yep. your starters. Then you get into salad. So your
I'm
salads.
Going, I'm going to wet my beak on four of the six starters.
I think I would try every one of them. I would try every single one of them. There's nothing I would be afraid of here. I don't think I would like the cheese and truffle, but I would try it. And it's not that I hate truffle. I don't. It's not. Something
so you don't,
I pursue.
You don't, truff hot sauce is not in your house.
Well, somebody gave it, so I have a bunch of it, but they've never been open.
Oh, my God. Love it.
Do you want it?
Yeah.
I'll bring them in.
Please.
All right.
I'll put that truff to good use.
I got the black, the white, and the red. Oh, I don't man. Know what they are.
So the red's the spiciest. The black is like the mid, and then the white is.
Okay.
The white's elite.
Somebody, I also
sure
have.
The blonde doesn't like truffles?
She might.
Does
I don't
she
know.
Like hot sauce?
Little. Yeah. I don't know. I don't even know if she knows what it is.
I mean, you know what I find to be a delight? Is I get the Wix crab cakes from my local grocer, which
sure.
is a Maryland company. Two of them for $15. They are better than or as good as any crab cake that you would get in a restaurant.
Okay.
Frozen, just bake them up. Throw a little truff on that bad boy. Oh,
I'm
going
to try that. I'm going to try it that. Because I can probably get access to those.
Yeah, you can.
You Basque crab salad.
I need to know how much mayo we're dealing with here, and if the answer
I would
is,
hunch is not a much. My hunch is not much. Spanish cooking, there's not a lot of crema.
I hope not. If there's,
yeah, I think you're
no
okay.
mayo in, mayo out.
Yeah, I would be shocked.
Okay.
Main course.
Yes.
Ribeye. Basque ribeye steak.
Yes.
You know how I feel about ribeyes. Those
yes.
are my guys.
Yep. Medium rare.
Tadula lettuce and piquillo peppers. Sure.
Sure.
Rota balo al pilpil.
Very good saying, peel, peel.
Typical fish dish from the Basque Country with turbo and Navarro white asparagus. Sure.
Okay.
I'm not afraid.
I mean, I'm going to eat my ribeye, so I'm fine.
Yeah, I'd take, that's one of those ones, maybe just a little taste.
Sure. Just a little, yeah.
Here's to looking up your address.
Yep.
Yeah. And then dessert, puff pastry cake with custard and chantilly cream.
Custard's gone the way of the dodo bird. I don't get it. Custard's good.
I think custard's great.
It's great, but where you don't see custard?
You rarely see it. There's that one fast food joint that slings them. It's white and blue. It's from Wisconsin. What is it?
And you can get
that's Culver's.
Culver's.
The white and blue one.
Don't
yeah.
they sling the custard? Yeah, they do.
Is it a frozen custard?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can get there's a lot of custard. East Coast yeah. custard?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this I feel like he's crushed this. I think this would be a delicious meal.
Oh, I'm
an absolute delight.
I'm sad that I was not invited.
Yeah. Yeah. I love and that Jose Andres, dude. That and good human. He does the world pantry or whatever he does.
Yeah.
He's in Gaza serving up food. Like
yeah.
he's that's a good
yeah,
dude, man.
Formidable.
Very good. Very good. All right, there you go. Good job out of John Rahm. Now, second hour of the program up next. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Be sure to check out the Browns social media channels daily. Play the digital scratch-off game. Your chance to win some club seats and other great prizes. It's presented by the Ohio Lottery, official lottery of your Cleveland Browns. Time for the Griff Fact of the Day.
I was
fact
waiting
of the day,
for
fact there of the day, fact of the day. It's the Griff,
it's the Griff
fact of the day.
The Masters is currently on the longest streak of different champions ever. The same person has not won two times in the last 11-year stretch. That's the first time that it's gone 11 years without somebody winning two different times.
Wait, hold on. Back-to-back or just a second winner?
So a second winner within the last 11 years. So the last 11 champions
are
have
all
been different.
First-time Masters champions?
Not first-time.
No. Oh, they've all been different.
They've all been different.
So up until that point, that's the longest stretch?
Yeah, so because
so
Tiger
because
won
Tiger
his...
or Jack always won like back-to-back in,
yep.
a, in a span. Faldo won back-to-back.
Mm-hmm. So since 2013.
That's an interesting Griff fact of the day.
Yeah. I like that one.
Took a long time for us to word it correctly, but we did figure it out.
Yeah, yeah. It is a cumbersome read. That's pretty wild that there hasn't been. So Rom would have a pretty good chance. I don't know how he's playing. How's he doing on Liv?
I don't think he's doing poorly.
I don't know anything about it. I don't know. I don't know how he's doing.
Yeah.
And I, do you think you saw him? You see his quotes like he was hoping he would be like the catalyst to get the two of them to work together, like the Liv and PGA.
Yeah.
Like he was.
I don't know if he's going to be
like,
able to do.
I got to tell you something. You're not Daenerys Targaryen, man. You're a Spanish golfer. You're not breaking the wheel. You're a spoke in the wheel. You're not
just
Tiger Woods.
Yeah. Just go win.
He's not Tiger Woods. There's one person who would have forced a merger, and it was a 50-year-old Tiger Woods.
That's right.
Crippled 50-year-old. Nobody else. Not Rory, not you, not Koepka, not Justin Thomas. None of them.
None of them
move the needle.
Nope.
Tiger does.
That's it.
They got Phil. He didn't move anything. 125,000 people watch Liv. Nobody watches it. It's nothing.
Nobody.
They're not judged by that, though, because the people who are paying for it don't matter. Somebody said to me, they were like, I can't believe he did that. I'm like, all right, let me just play the game. Play the game with me. What if I told you that I'm going to guarantee your income at a 10 times rate of what you're already making?
Take it.
I'm not even done. You're going to work, instead of working Monday through Friday, you're going to work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for the rest of your life. You work 3 days a week instead
of
five.
It's really actually going to be like relative. It'll probably be like working Monday, Tuesday.
Okay, 2 days a week. All right, 2 days a week, tenfold income, all guaranteed. Guess what? Doesn't even matter if you're good or not. I'm giving you all the money. You can half-ass it.
I'm great.
Fantastic.
I'm in. Awesome.
Sold.
I wouldn't.
Nobody said.
I would never.
Oh, no, my principles. Get out of here with your principles.
I would give you everything I've got.
Come on.
It's true.
Come on.
That's the kind of guy I am.
All right. What are we doing? We got a Masters Fantasy Draft. All right, so we're going to make our picks.
We did this last year.
We don't have to. All right, I got to get this up. I was doing. Look at that guy.
Past champ. You have to pick one past champ, one from the United States, one international, and one wild card.
Okay.
Griffin and Uno are doing this as well. It should be.
Whose has the hateful name? Gibby.
Hello.
Of course.
What did he pick?
His name is a shot at me.
I put Z as average at golf.
All right. Oh, geez. That's
my team name.
Uncalled for.
And inaccurate.
Correct. Yep. Very inaccurate. Yep. But I enjoy getting the response I just got.
Yeah,
so it was worth it.
You're welcome.
All right. Let's go. I never know anything about this because I don't watch this. I don't watch
what
golf.
Happened to
I
D.
watch
Shambo,
majors.
By
that's
the way.
It.
What happened to
Liv?
What happened?
He's making tenfold. He's only working 2 days a year, and it doesn't matter if he wins.
Yeah.
Why would he be sharp? There's no reason.
As you guys get ready for this scoring, all pars are worth 1 point.
All right.
Double eagle is 8. Eagle 5. Birdie 2. Bogey is -1. That excludes amateurs. Double bogey or more, -3. Again, excludes amateurs. A first round pick completes a round, 1 point. End of tournament bonuses. Pick low amateur, 5 points. Pick tournament champion, 5 points. Pick runner-up, 3 points each.
Okay. All right. So who's going first?
I mean,
which category are we picking first?
Are we making it so, like, if somebody takes somebody, you can't take them?
Oh, that'd be tough.
I don't want to do that.
On a snake situation.
Okay.
Yeah, we talked about that. I think it's too difficult.
Too difficult. Too much. Okay.
All right. We ready?
I'm ready.
Ready.
All right, so what's the first category we have to fill?
Past champs.
Okay.
I'm going to
feel like Rom.
I'm
going to take Rom.
All right, I'm going to take Scottie Scheffler.
You know what could happen to him, though, right?
To who?
Scheffler.
What?
He's his wife is pregnant. He could. It's his first. He's leaving if she goes into labor, and it could happen this weekend.
What?
All right. Rom is. It's,
what
I don't
happens
think it's
if
happen.
We wake up Sunday morning and he's in the lead and is gone because his wife's in labor?
Well, he'll know what that's like because he was leading the Memorial Tournament, or Rom was leading the Memorial Tournament, got COVID and was thrown out.
Yeah.
In the middle of it. All right. So I got Rom. You got Scheffler. Who do you guys got?
Well, I feel like I can't take Scheffler.
I would roll the dice with it. It was between Rom or Scheffler for me.
Okay.
I'm taking Matsuzama.
Hideki. All right. Who do they got?
I have Scottie Scheffler as well.
All right. Griff
has Jordan Spieth.
Okay. All right, what's the next category?
United States. Pick a golfer.
U.S. golfer.
Dustin Johnson.
He's won it. You can't have him.
No, he's in the U.S. as well.
But I think if he's a past champion, you can't pick him twice, can you?
Well, I didn't pick him twice.
I guess you can.
Well, then Scheffler.
Well, there you go. Yeah, because I get Rahman International.
Oh, I see. I was saying if he was a past champion, he could only be in the past champion
it
category.
Should be that way. It's not.
You said, is that real?
No,
is
I'm
this a real?
It, I'm doing it on
oh,
the
there's
website.
An actual website.
Yeah,
I thought you just.
No, I'm doing it on the website.
I just made it up. All right, I didn't understand the rules.
No, there's.
Yeah, I would have done this very differently. I would have done this differently now, knowing that. That's okay.
Well, if you can change it, you can change it.
Your stuff.
All right, well, then I would do the same thing you did. I would take Scheffler, and I would take Dustin Johnson, and I would, or I'd go Koepka. I'll go Koepka instead.
Koepka's my wild card.
Okay, so
so I have Scheffler, Dustin Johnson, Rahm, and Koepka.
So I think, yeah. All right, I know we're up against it.
So we might have to draft it.
We may have to actually draft this, to be honest. Because otherwise, we're going to have the same guys.
Yeah.
Or if a player is used in one category, he cannot be used in another. So you'd have to set, like, so in other words, if it's a past champion, they like Rahm, Scheffler, Dustin Johnson, they can only be in the past champion, and the U.S. international guys can't be past champions. That would give it a little bit of difference. But you'd end up with Koepka as your American. You'd end up with. So I don't know. You may have to do a snake. May have to do an off-air snake.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, we're going to have the same guys.
We're going to have the same guys. Yeah.
It's going to be Rahm, Scheffler, Koepka, Dustin Johnson. Like in,
yeah,
but
you shouldn't be able to go
right. Three out of those four are all LIV guys, by the way.
Yeah. Just Scotty.
I think there's 13 LIV guys in this tournament.
Well, a lot of them are in the mix. Yeah, a lot of them are in the mix.
Why
is Matsuyama
break?
LIV or is he still PGA?
I think he's LIV.
I have no idea.
I thought he went LIV.
No clue.
No, I think he's PGA.
I wouldn't know.
What about that Cam Smith guy? Is he
he's LIV, and he's in.
He's in.
Yeah,
I think we're gonna have to snake. We're gonna have to.
I think you're gonna have to either snake it, or you're gonna have to have parameters. One of the two.
All right.
It's probably the only way to do it because otherwise you're gonna have the same. If there's only we're only doing a foursome, right?
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have Rahm, Koepka, Scheffler, Johnson.
Same.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're gonna have to snake it.
All right. We'll do a snake.
All right.
We'll figure that out. We're gonna work through it. We got some things to work through.
We gotta do that today, though. We gotta do it before you leave today.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll do it in the break. We also have coming up next, Gibbe put some work in on his mock draft. I look forward to his rationalization of his draft picks. Miss Kelsey Russo did as well. So we'll get into their mock draft at ClevelandBrowns.com. The Beast is out today. We've got a lot of drafts coming out. We'll get into that coming up next. Cleveland Browns Daily 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Don't miss Billy Joel, Rod Stewart together the first time ever. It's Friday, September 13th, Cleveland Browns Stadium. Tickets are on sale now. Visit ClevelandBrownsStadium.com/Billy and Rod 2024 for more information.
Billy and Rod 2024.
Billy, Rod, together, one night. It's here. Buy the tickets. Gibbe,
do it.
Hi. Take me. I'll do the. I'm gonna act like you are, like Field Yates, or Dane Brugler.
By the way, did you see NFL Network and ESPN are flipping talent next week? Guess who's going to SportsCenter next week to promote? They're promoting the draft coverage on both networks.
Okay.
On SportsCenter next week, Steve Smith.
Wow.
Is SportsCenter how it used to be? Do they still do highlights?
Not really.
I don't know what it
is. Steve Smith's going to be a highlight.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if they let him do highlights, that's kind of fun. Like, if he just do highlights.
I don't know. I'm assuming he's doing analysis.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, what do you think about this? And he's going to be like, that guy sucks.
I mean, honestly, like, how much homework is he doing? Which brings me to you, Gibbe. Gibbe, when you put,
I am offended
when you put
that you would go down.
Well, let's make me look sillier. Gibbe,
yeah.
When you put together a mock draft, is this what you would do or what you think the teams would do?
Oh, what I think the team would do.
All right, what you think the team would do. So with your mock draft 2.0, this is you and Kelsey Russo.
Yes. I don't know how Z got out of this, but Z no longer writes.
He's the franchise. You in your second round pick for the Browns.
By the way, when we saw this the first time, this came out while you were on vacation.
Oh, my gosh. We had a real treat.
Was this why my stock was down?
No.
No, actually, this probably was a stock up.
Yeah, this would have been an arrow.
This is a stock up.
Because it brought us a lot of joy.
So, Gibby, with your second round pick, with the Browns second round pick, what are you forecasting?
I believe I had Michael Hall Jr.
Yep.
The defensive tackle.
Okay.
Ohio State.
He's probably a third round pick is the more I looked into it, but I was like, fine, great.
He was one of those guys.
Listen, if you love a guy, you just jump up and get him, Gibby.
That's what you do.
That's what you do.
You just got to do it. He had flashes. Actually, thought last year he was better than 2 years ago. He's better than last year at Ohio State, but he certainly had some flashes. And then you went into the third round. What can you tell us about offensive tackle Javon Foster?
Well, as I mentioned,
what do you like about his game?
What do you like about his game?
ClevelandBrowns.com. I mean, he's a little bit of a work in progress, but the Browns can afford to have a little bit of a work in progress at the offensive tackle position.
All right.
He's got a few technique things that he's got to work through.
Such as? You don't like his hand placement?
I believe Lance Zierlein's report did say something about hand placement as I read that.
At least he's going to Zierlein. That's good.
Yeah.
No, because that's who I went to for this. I was like,
Zierlein's a good place to go.
Yeah. Lance knows this better than I do.
He's got a few things issues with this technique.
All right.
I don't know. 6'5", all SEC, first team.
You could have stopped it. You could have just stopped it. I don't know. Here's the thing with this, and we're having some fun with you about this, Gibby, and I would have fun with Kelsey about this too. You're picking 54, man.
Yeah,
correct.
You're in the third round.
This isn't even 54. This is 85.
I like what she did. I like Malachi Corley and then Kieran Karan Amagagi.
You watched a lot of Yale.
No,
football?
Hold on. This is the guy that Dane brought up as being a first-round talent that has only played like 1 year at Yale.
Uh-huh.
I don't think he's there in the third round. My guess is he's gone. He could be our pick in the second round.
Okay. Yeah. But the reality is when you're picking where we're picking,
it's very hard.
It's so brutal.
Correct.
You know? It's very difficult.
Very, very difficult to be able to pull that off.
Yeah. By the way, I made my two picks. If you want me, should I announce them on the air?
Yeah, we're going to have time for that.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll save the Adam Rank one.
We'll save the Rank.
All right, so here's what's happened so far. Snake draft, we decided once a player is picked, they can't be picked again. So Z picked first. He had Rahm. Gibby then took Brooks. I took Scheffler. Uno took DJ. Griff took Spieth. Then on the way back around, Griff went JT. Uno went Mickelson. I went Xander Schauffele. And then Gibby went Matsuyama. And so you are up, sir.
I got two picks.
Yep.
So I'm going to use Rahm as my past champion.
Yep.
My international is going to be Cam Smith.
Okay, I like
and
it.
And I'm going to go with my wild card, Victor Hovland.
Hovland.
He took both our picks. Uno's despondent. He's like, Victor Hovland's my guy. I'm like, I'm going to steal him and make you trade for him.
Well, sorry.
Sorry.
Listen,
all right, so you're your foreign end champions and wild cards are out. So your next guy has to
be American. Yep.
All right, go ahead, Gibby.
I have a past champ and I've got Koepka. Is that right?
You have
Koepka and Matsuyama.
So I need an international
or a wild card.
Either one.
International.
Go.
Okay.
I'm sure he's going to choke because this is what he does in the Masters.
Rory.
Rory lasting this long is pretty wild. There. That's a very good value.
This doesn't happen often that I actually am intelligent enough to get through this. But where we are.
It's a good value.
Good value.
Nerd. I'm going to go Joaquin Niemann.
Oh, man, the Chilean. Okay.
All right.
Uno. Thank you.
All my picks got stolen.
Oh, Uno. We're live on the air. Prepared. Be ready. Be a team player.
What do you got? No, hold on. I got to wait for Uno to make a pick. Griff's already ready.
What's it going to be, Uno?
I'll take Colin Morikawa.
He hasn't
played
well.
So that's
well
your
there,
American. Wait a second. Oh, he's your wild card. Okay. All right. Very good. That's fine.
He's got a past champion.
He's got a past champion in American. So what are we doing here?
What are we doing here?
I don't remember.
Griff.
Okay, so my past champion was Jordan Spieth.
Yep.
My U.S. player was JT.
Okay.
For my international, I'm going to put Matt Fitzpatrick.
Matty Fitz.
And then for my and then for my wild card, I'm going to pick the kid, Tom Kim.
Tom Kim.
Who's Tom Kim?
I don't know.
He's the kid.
He's the kid. That's what he's saying.
Alphabetical.
He's 21 years old.
Is he an amateur?
No, he's on the PGA Tour.
Tom Kim, Masters start, best. Oh, he's got a lot of projected points. He was 16th in his debut. I like that one. Good pick there, Griff. Okay, Uno.
I'm going to take.
You need an international.
The South African amateur, Christo Lamprecht.
You're taking an amateur?
I believe the last tournament I watched him in, he did really good.
Hey, he doesn't get negative points if he bogeys.
So I'm gonna take a chance with this amateur from South Africa.
Okay.
He's gonna be my guy.
Okay. All right. Bo, you need you have whatever.
Yeah, I can do anything I want.
Yes, you can.
I'm trying to I'll go Wyndham.
That was my pick. I'd already written him down.
Uno, who was your last one? Someone I never heard of?
Lamprecht.
Lamprecht. Okay. Gibby.
Has Neiman been taken?
Yeah, I got him.
I hate you. Who is Adrian Meronk?
I don't know.
Guy looks pretty impressive.
One other guy I was between Wyndham and one other one. I wonder if you'll end up on that one.
From the U.S.?
Yeah.
Because my guy had to be an American.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know.
Live radio, Gibby.
I know. And
live radio, Gibby.
Little Max Homa for you, Gibby?
Should.
Rory lasting that long is pretty
crazy. Who do you have?
Is it the point we're just like giving up on him? We're just giving up on Rory because
he's going to be fine.
Yeah.
What, Gibby?
I'll let you go.
You let me go first? I was going to take Wyndham, but since he's out, I'm putting my money where my heart is. Tiger Woods.
Eldrick.
Y'all. Let's go.
Eldrick. All right. Gibby.
Has anybody taken Siwoo Kim?
You just did.
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay.
I was between Wyndham and Tony Finau.
Tony
just
because
I like that guy from Memphis, yeah, who does, uh-huh, Tony Finau. How would be now?
How would be now? Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if he does that again.
Yeah.
So
I'm
he
sure.
went crazy viral like 3 years doing it, 3 years ago doing it. And then ran it back the last couple of years. It's been a hit, but like, you're never going to get the pop you did the first time, right?
Yeah.
But it's awesome. It's only once a year. I think you probably do it, don't you?
Yep. Yep. All right. Yep.
So there you go.
So I was between Wyndham and Cam Young. I'm going to put a little star by my
name. All right, we got a break. The General's waiting.
Eldrick is really, I don't know if that's a real pick. I'm going to sleep on
it's
that.
It's too late.
I'm
going to
sleep
on that
one.
You picked
I'm
it.
I'm going to sleep on
You
that.
Picked it for the record.
All right.
The General up next. Cleveland Browns Daily 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
All right, welcome back into Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, sports betting partner of your Cleveland Browns. We head out on the Twisted Tea Hotline, brought to you by Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea, official sponsor of your Cleveland Browns. Keep it twisted, Cleveland. We are joined by great friend John McClain, joining us, HoustonTexans.com. He joins us on that hotline. Boy, buddy, a lot has changed down there in a year, heading into the draft a year ago to where that team is now. It's been a hell of a ride, a wild ride. Put it into perspective for us, just where that franchise has been over the last year.
This time last year, they didn't have a quarterback. They didn't have a pass rusher. Those were their two biggest needs. Nobody knew what kind of coach DeMeco Ryans would be because he only had 2 years as defensive coordinator. They had high hopes, but they didn't know. I picked them to win six games, and I thought after the 0-2 start, I'd screwed up and should have picked them to win three again. And then it all turned around with a 20-point win at Jacksonville, and I thought that might have been a fluke. And then when they came back here and beat Pittsburgh worse than any team had beaten the Steelers in Houston since the Oilers in 91, I thought, well, now I think D'Amico might be pretty good, and I think Stroud might be pretty good. And one of the things that happened, they had players like Nico Collins had been hurt his first 2 years, off and on. He flashed. All of a sudden, he stayed healthy, and he was great. I mean, he was tremendous. Now, he's got 1 year left on his contract. They could extend him this year. They could wait till next year. And then they hit a home run, of course, with Stroud. And then when Nick Caserio has done a tremendous job, he traded up to get Will Anderson Jr. They were offensive and defensive rookies of the year. And so everything just came together. Now, that being said, I picked them to lose to Browns in the playoff game, since the Browns had walloped them at the end of regular season. And so the decisiveness of that victory was pretty stunning. They were tied at halftime at Baltimore, and then the Ravens just wore them down to beat them. But the Texans have never been out of the divisional round. We have not had a team in a championship game, AFC championship game, since the Oilers in 79. So if they could get beyond the divisional round, people would be happy. I think people now, because of the Diggs trade and idea that they can put Diggs, Collins, Tank Dell, who was fabulous as a rookie till he suffered a season-ending injury, and then tight end Dalton Schultz, those four as receivers for Stroud, and then they traded for Joe Mixon, who had almost 1,400 yards rushing and receiving and double teams and touchdowns, that they've got balance for Stroud, and they're trying to take advantage of that rookie contract. And but the schedule, first-place schedule, they played five division winners. They have 11 games against teams that had winning records. And that quarterbacks they play against, this is why they signed 11 defensive free agents and why I think their first two picks in the second round will be defense. They play, let's see, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott, Tua Tagovailoa, Jordan Love, Jared Goff, Caleb Williams, and Trevor Lawrence.
There you go.
There it is. Well, that's what happens when you're good, but this is a team that feels really good. I was saying the other day, kind of like the way that they're being talked about. You remember the year after the Raiders went to the playoffs with Derek Carr, but I don't think he was able to play. I think, in fact, they may have played the Houston Texans in that first round, that they were kind of anointed. Is there kind of a sense that this Texans team is being anointed a little bit? And it certainly on paper looks like they can do it.
Like the Jaguars were anointed last year.
You know, they win the division.
They have that great come-from-behind victory in the wild card round over the Chargers, which really was more of a case of the Chargers choking. But still, on my former radio station, about $100, I'd take the Jaguars versus the field. I took the Jags and had to pay up on the $100. And I think now people here are getting delusional about the Super Bowl. And I think with the schedule and the quarterbacks they go against, I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender. I think maybe if they keep adding talent, maybe they will be in 2025, but they certainly should win the division again. Although three teams had winning records, and no team has done more than the Titans other than the Texans in the AFC South to try to get better. So the Texans could be a better team and not have as good a record because of the schedule. But if they surprise everybody again, then they will be legitimate Super Bowl contenders in 2025.
What do you make of the Stephon Diggs trade? Because it feels like it's a one-year rental. You're talking 2025. This feels like a win, obviously a win now move. And you're still talking about win the division, but they, you know, must feel they can do even better than that. But any concern with him? You know, it sounds like he kind of wore out his welcome in Minnesota, wore out his welcome in Buffalo. Any concern about him coming into this roster with so many young players?
Not any concern at all, because he was no trouble in Minnesota for 2 years. He was no trouble in Buffalo for 2 years until he was unhappy with things like his contract. He got his contract, and he was not a bad guy. He's just a guy who's not shy about complaining on social media, chewing out Josh Allen, bitching at the coaches. And I think here, I thought it was really smart of Nick Caserio to get rid of that contract, put him on a one-year deal. they're going to get the best he's got to offer. He's already working out with Stroud and Tank Dell and John Metchie the third. And I think that he will be on his best behavior. You won't see him complaining because he'll believe he turns 31 in November. He'll believe that if he plays well, he can get another big contract. Well, the fact is, for a receiver who'll turn 32 in November of 2025, there's no long-term big contracts in that situation. So the Texans figure, okay, if they want to bring him back for a two-year deal, they can do it. But they'd be smarter to pour their money into Nico Collins. But Diggs, more catches than any receiver in NFL over the last 4 years. People talked about his performance fell off last year, and he still ended up with 107 catches, 1,183 yards, and 8 touchdowns. And when they fired Ken Dorsey and elevated Joe Brady, he was all about the running game, throwing to the tight ends, throwing to the running backs. And so Diggs, it looked like he was pouting. And now he's not pouting. He's turning cartwheels to be here playing for D'Amico Ryans with C.J. Stroud on a team that is very talented.
Well, that last part is why this is all possible, right? Because you hit on a quarterback. When you hit on a quarterback, you have to mobilize in a hurry, and the Texans have done that. But it's one of those things where if C.J. Stroud's not C.J. Stroud, it's a much different – if you don't know right away, they knew pretty quickly. When did you know that he was special? You've seen a lot of special ones. You had Warren Moon. You had Deshaun early in his career. Where is C.J. for you in terms of kind of what you think he can be and what you've already seen from him?
I covered Dan Pastorini, Steve McNair. Pastorini, third overall pick. McNair, third overall pick. Moon, highest paid free agent history when he signed in 84. And then, of course, Watson, 10th pick in 17. And D'Amico Ryans had a plan. We knew Stroud was going to be starting on day one, but he kept delaying it. He wouldn't say. Davis Mills running first team in camp, two-year starter. Then they rotated with the first team. And then finally, he announced what we all knew, and they start 0-2. And we're like, okay, it was in the lost to Indianapolis in the second game in which Anthony Richardson ran for 2 touchdowns, then got hurt and left. Stroud threw for 386 yards, trying to bring him from behind, including 190 in the fourth quarter. But I think, okay, maybe that's why they took him. Well, we knew why they took him. He was number one or number two, depending on who you listen to. And then he started to do better, and they started winning all these close games. It's amazing the games they won at the end, and yet they lost at Atlanta, and they lost at Carolina on field goals with no time left. And they could win at Cincinnati with Joe Burrow playing. So that's what happens when you have a young team or a team with a lot of newcomers trying to mesh. Nick Caserio, until this season, had never given a free agent a contract of more than 2 years, and that was a punter, Cameron Johnston. Now he's given out a couple of three-year contracts, but he gave Daniil Hunter, who had 16 and a half sacks, 2 years, $48 million guaranteed. And then D'Nico Autry, who came 11.5 sacks from the Titans, he didn't get big bucks, but he's 34, going to be 34, but he's averaged 9 sacks a year since he turned 30. And he's kind of like a fine wine, but they still need a defensive tackle. How many times do you see a team set a record, franchise record for sacks, and let three of their defensive linemen go? But that's what
wild.
They've done. It is wild, and everything starts up front, and that's why I think they will use their first pick in the second round on a defensive tackle or corner, and the one they don't pick will be the next pick in the second round.
Yeah, it is interesting how they made that defensive line over, because I know in my preparations for our game in Houston, not only won in the regular season, but then again in the playoffs, that was a strength. I think 4 guys had at least 6 sacks on that defensive line. 3 of them, as you mentioned, are now gone. 2 of them in the interior, and then Grenard on the outside. They're replaced with Daniil Hunter, though. That had to feel like a big win to be able to pair Will Anderson with Daniil Hunter. That to me, is one of the as big a move as getting Stephon Diggs, if not bigger.
Yeah, I think it's bigger because he plays the run. D'Amico Ryans is obsessed with setting the edge. I don't remember if it was Next Gen Stats or Pro Football Focus near the end of the year. It had Grenard and Will Anderson Jr. as the number one duo at setting the edge against the run. And they wouldn't assign Hunter if he couldn't play the run. And so they're fired up about it, getting Autry to play tackle. to replace Sheldon Rankins. Rankins was a great example of what the Texans are doing. You take a veteran who's been hurt or has been down and not a scheme fit. He's 30 years old. He came in. He played really well. Played to run great. Had 6 sacks. They give him 1 year, $9 million. They offered him $11 million. That's not bad. Bengals gave him a $4 million raise. So he went to Cincinnati. So they signed Nico Autry. But they still need another one. They traded their other tackle, Malik Collins, who started every game for 3 years, to the 49ers for 7th round pick. And we're still mystified by that. And as far as Jonathan Greenard, he's been hurt every year he's done in the NFL. And to get, they let him go to Minnesota. They could have kept him for what they signed Hunter for, but they thought it was an upgrade. And then they think Will Anderson Jr. in his second year, his career may take off like J.J. Watts did in his second year. So they're happy with the way they are up front, but they need one more piece.
John, get you out of here on this one. Pecking order in the AFC. Where are they for you heading into the draft? And I understand that incomplete roster because we don't know what's going to happen in the draft, but what where are they for you in the AFC?
Well, it's got it. You know, it has to start with Kansas City. I had picked Baltimore to win the Super Bowl for the season. I was feeling pretty good after the Texans game. I still think Baltimore is right up there. And I think the Texans are definitely the best team in the South. And Cincinnati, if Burrow can stay healthy the whole season, you know, he could put them back in the running for a Super Bowl. And if Deshaun can stay healthy and play the way we've seen him play here, the Browns are going to be a Super Bowl contender. But Deshaun has got to play the way he did in 2020, and that's been a long time. But he's still capable of doing it. And you guys know he wants to do it really bad. And so I the one I can't figure – Pete Carroll, Hall of Fame coach, didn't want Russell Wilson. Sean Payton, the Hall of Fame coach, didn't want Russell Wilson. Now everybody acts like he's going to do something special for Mike Tomlin, another Hall of Fame coach. When another year, he might be back out on the street. I don't understand all the predictions that Wilson's going to do something big for the Steelers.
Yeah, kind of with you on that. Good stuff as always, General. Thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, that's great, John McClain. Now for HoustonTexans.com. There you go.
There it is.
Yeah. The thing with Russ is
he's not better than Pickett.
That's it.
That's the thing with Russ. Is he better than Pickett? Yeah.
That's it. I don't think he's going to be great. I just don't think he's as bad as people realize. And I think with that roster for 1 year until they go to Fields the following year, it's better than what they got the last 2 years, and they've been a playoff team each of the last 2 years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
they've never had a losing season.
No.
Under Tomlin, never.
Never.
Zero.
So that's really what that's about more than anything else. So much more to come. You'll listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Masters tomorrow.
Let's go, Tiger.
That time of year.
Let me tell you something. You're going to be getting your Sunday red on May 1st, coming off a Tiger's win. That's going to propel my team to the
You're going to be getting ready for the PGA Championship.
I'll get that draw. he'll be like going wherever the British is this year. Now, if you want your pine collection, your hoodie.
Masters is definitely my number two, and it's a close second to the British.
I have the Masters and the British as like a virtual heat.
Yep,
I prefer the British. I like that it starts early. I like that every time it's unique, it looks like nothing I've ever seen before.
Yep.
So it would have a slight lead, but I would not want to pick between the two. They're the two that...
Like I would lose the PGA and the U.S. Open
in
a heartbeat.
Yeah, I don't...
I still like the U.S. Open.
They're great. They're both great, but to me they're almost redundant. They look the same to me.
Well, they should have them be on like cool courses.
They should
with the U.S. Open,
and they should also. I don't need to see them at Marion or Pinehurst again. I've seen it a thousand times. Yeah. So
now you get some of that in the British because it's the Rota. I mean, it's only right, on certain courses.
Those courses look only like those courses. We don't see them play on that type of stuff any of the rest of the time.
Yes, correct.
So that's it's just a different game.
Yeah.
All right, Next Level's next. We're back tomorrow. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and 850 ESPN Cleveland.